Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a race to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
All right, let's try this again. Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Today is Monday, Moonday. June the 18th of 2018. And the time is 10:30 a.m. Central Time. As always, we've got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to talk about how to think your way to the top. How to think. Everybody can tell you what to think. Very few people can tell you how to think. At least people that I run across, they tell me, hey, dude, you should, you know, this is what you should think. You should think this. You should think that. I have a lot of people that tell me what to think. They tell me this is the particular subject. This is the particular version. This is the particular way. This is the particular disposition. This is what to think. But then when I ask people, how do I come to a mental understanding of that specific modality of thinking, then that's when the water gets a little fuzzy. Everybody talks, or everybody can tell you what to think, but very few people can tell you how to think. And it is this frequent, intense thinking that establishes or allows you to be effective in who you are beaming, who you are bonding, who you are being. And so as I go to the next level, I'm realizing at this level the difference between the previous level. Like, you know, let's say, for example, if we're talking monetarily, let's say $100,000 a year, unless if you're talking from a health perspective, we're talking about a, you know, body mass index of a BMI of, let's say, 10% or less. For women, say 15%. We're talking about a resting heart rate of between, say, 60 and 75. If we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about the ability to understand the deeper things of Yahushua, how Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we're talking about relationships, we're talking about the ability to overcome any adversity in the relationship, the ability to sit down and have a vibrational conversation so that way you know internally what your mate needs before they ask. If your mate has to tell you, honey, I need blank, it's too late. You should be able to vibrationally, telepathically understand that your mate needs your attention, that your mate needs a kind word, that your mate needs you to spend time with them, to give them a back rub, to reassure them, to basically talk to them. If you are in a relationship with somebody and you got to tell them what you need, that's not a relationship. At this level, at the higher level, how do you think, how do you know, how do you use telepathy or discernment to understand what is needed? If you know that you should invest in this but you don't, or you know that you should pay this bill early or you should pay this bill late, if you should do some things and you got a sense in your spirit and in your heart and you know it but you don't do it. An example, this weekend I went out and I purchased something that a pretty decent sized purchase for a organization, and I presented this to this organization without they knowing, and then the leaders of the organization told me that at 2 days or day before, they went to a company to apply for credit to purchase the item that I purchased, and they were denied. And they were a little befuddled because they got really, really excellent credit and this, that, and the other. Everything is going great. And they went there, and for some reason or another, that purchase was denied. And something impressed upon me to make that purchase and just donate it to that particular organization. And I did. That's discernment. That's frequent, intense thinking. The ability to use nonverbal, the ability to use telepathy, the ability to sense in your gut, in your spirit. Now, how is that done? I can sit here and tell you what I do every day and why it's important that you understand. I am no longer, as I talked about before, dealing with people that are not on that level, that they don't have the intensity or the desire for that intensity. Because I understand now how the enemy has kept me trapped by people who are struggling to actually believe what I'm saying is true, and people who are struggling to see the worth and value in what I'm saying as being true, people who don't see what I see. So I'm not in the business any longer of convincing people to see what I see, because I realize now it took me some time, so it's going to take you some time, so I don't recommend that you try to get there overnight. I just recommend that you allow the natural flow of God, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. Everything that the Bible says is true. Everything. I don't care what's in the Bible that you have a problem with. Everything in the Bible is true. The only problem is the way that we think about it is incorrect. Everything, even the bad stuff, is in the Bible. It's only bad because we've been taught from a bad perspective. There's no such thing as evil from the perspective of the all-benevolent one, because all things work together for your good. And so how to think that way is what we're talking about today, because that's the way that's the new level I am at now. That's how everybody on that level thinks. Now, the old level I was at, It was okay to spend time talking to people and convincing people that what you're saying is true. At the new level, everybody already knows what you're saying is true because they see the proof because they've lived it. They didn't read about it in the book. They have the same experiences that you have. So therefore, the issues that face the world, all of the greed, all the genocide, we got a culture in place that says that it's okay to separate children from their parents to prove a political point. We are in a system where genocide is being conducted on a global scale against melanated individuals. We are in a climate where there is an economic meltdown on purpose. There is more than enough to go around, but there is a consciousness, there is a mass consciousness that's being promoted. So if you cannot, or if you choose not to resolve that issue before it comes face to face with you. You see, until we, you, me and I, look at ourselves and make the decision to do the work to gain an understanding of ourself, self-knowledge, beyond the worship of our personalities, but to focus on the worship of our purpose, and to focus on the person that gave us and established that purpose, we will continually to be caught in an environment that does not question the nature of its own reality. Because there isn't the ability to ask questions about the nature of your reality, that is how you think your way to the top. It must be frequently, it must be intensely, and it must be systematically. If you're not thinking frequently about wealth, health, wisdom, and a toe-curling relationship, if you're not thinking intensely about wealth, health, wisdom, and a toe-curling relationship, if you're not thinking systematically about wealth, health, wisdom, and a toe-curling relationship, then your dog won't hunt. Then the issues that is being promoted by the dominant culture, by the psychopaths and the social path of sociology, by religion, by the media, by entertainment, by this warped sense of nationalism, the current education system, the current government that is established this illusionary world that is based upon a faulty belief system. So before anybody can think, we must develop the methodology by which to how to think. We have to become aware that there is a conditioning or a condition or a programming or a program that has programmed us. We must question the reality of our program. We must question the nature of our thoughts. We must bring every thought into captivity and see if it lines up with God. We must think on these things. And the Bible specifically tells us what things to think on. So we're not willing to do the work necessarily to truly understand ourselves. And the way that we routinely and methodically and mechanically react, then my brothers and sisters, your dog doesn't hunt. Because right now what you're doing is I can predict it. I can watch you and I can tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. Based upon what you did yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day and you keep redoing the same shit that's over and over again because you are a machine. You've been reduced from a spirit to a mechanical behavioral object. And you are reactive instead of proactive. Because a stimuli stimulates you and you react. Poke, prod. Again, if I shock you, I get an ow. I shock. Ow, shock, ow, and this goes on and on until you get out of the way so that the thing that is shocking you can no longer shock you. That is proactive. Proactive means if you know something is coming, you get out the way. That's how you think, not what you think. The way that you think is to question the prodding. Just don't succumb to it. But I know very few people that question the nature of the reality of what we call the Bible. I know very few people that question the nature of the reality of what we call capitalism or the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Why do we just got those two? Now, remember the devil always, the dominant culture or the cosmogrator, the Nephilim, whomever, you want to call it, they always present option A and option B. That's how you know that's the dominant culture. So therefore, you exit stage left. You don't react to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. You don't react to rich or poor. You don't react to fat or skinny. You don't react to left or right. You don't react to up or down. You do not react to what is being presented. That is what is called emotional addiction. Their job is to get you addicted to the dopamine or the energy that is released through the prodding of you want to be fat or you want to be skinny. No, I want to be healthy. You want to be rich or you want to be poor. No, I want to be happy. You want to be wise or you want to be ignorant. No, I want to be knowledgeable of the truth. You want to be, you know, in a good relationship or you want to be in a bad relationship. No, I want to be in a toe-curling relationship. So I'm not reacting to what is presented by the dominant culture or society or religion or the media or entertainment or the government or the educational system or the nationalism. I'm not reacting to this illusionary board of directors. My behavior is not being promoted or controlled or manipulated. My emotions is not addicted. I'm not addicted emotionally because I understand how to think. Right now, everybody that's listening, or most of the people, you know, maybe not you, but somebody that you know, you have a conditioned belief system. So what do? Well, number one, first thing that we got to do, we got to understand, we got to question the nature of our reality. Number one, straight out the box, is you're not asking wrong questions, wrong answer. That's number one problem that I see with people that say that I want to engage in an intellectual conversation. We can't even engage in an intellectual conversation because you've never questioned the nature of your reality. You just believe that your reality is reality. Now, I know very few people who do that. Do you know anybody? Walk out on the street and just think, hey, dude, how you know you just ask people agreed upon shiznits? Are we on Earth? Just ask somebody that. Or is the sky blue? Is a frog a frog? How many people do you know that ask questions about what is known? Very few people question the construct or the nature of their reality. I know I lived most of my life, never once did I ask a question about the nature of my reality. And as soon as I asked the question, they bounced my happy-go-lucky behind up out of that particular organization or any organization. Don't believe me? Just ask, okay, why do we play football in America? Now, in America, we play football with helmets, shoulder pads. Every other country, football is soccer. So why in America is football different from football in other cultures? How come our definition of football is not the same as everybody else's? You see, it takes honest self-work in order for you to take on the promotion of the illusion. Number one, you got to question the nature of your reality. Number one. Now, this is how you think. If you do this, you rise above everybody else because you escape the vibrational prison. See, there is no foundation to build upon, meaning that when we truly look inside, we start to see, we start to think, and we start to feel different. Right now, who is to say what is good and what is bad? Well, there is something that is called the standard, which is number two. So I have a standard by which to evaluate what is promoted by the dominant culture. So there's a lot of people that don't have a standard. They don't have something to compare. So how do you compare apples if there is no oranges? How do you compare up if there is no down? How do you compare happy if there is no sad? How do you compare rich if there is no poor? How do you compare skinny if there is no fat? This ability to compare against the standard. Now, the standard for me is simply one. There's only one standard. The standard is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The second is exactly like the first. Love your neighbor, because your neighbor is God, as you love yourself, because you are God. So that brings me to question the nature of your reality. We go back to question number one, which is, well, I got to question the nature of the reality of what I call God. Because if I don't establish, because when people tell me they believe in God, my first question to them is, who is God? And then I just pause as I just look at the befuddled look on their face. Because I don't know very few people, I should say, that can answer that question. So are you one of those people that can tell me the nature of your reality that you call God? Now, the reason why this is so important is not because you need to know the answer to the statement. It's because you need to ask the question, because the fact that you ask the question embarks you up on the quest. So if you don't ask the quest, now remember the definition of the words, which is number three, etymology. If you do not do these three things, brothers and sisters, then your ability to think is flawed. Now, the reason why this is so important is because if you understand etymology, you simply understand rootology, what I call rootology. That is the ability to trace things back to their beginning. So most people don't engage in that activity. Now, the standard is many things, but primarily it is omnibenevolent. If you want to break the standard down to one word, that's it. Omni, that means all. Benevolent means good. So when somebody asks me, what is God or who is God, that's the definition, based upon Gagu, which I have inside my book, The Standard, which is God Almighty Grand Unification Theorem, not theory. That means I can use physics to prove the existence of what I call a all-benevolent entity or being. So Gagu uses a geometrical hydrogen africanum, which simply means that the table, the periodic table of elements that consists of 118, 117, depending on who you talk to, elements, is a manipulation of one element. In all language, all color, all music, all math, everything is a manipulation of one, and that is hydrogen. Everything comes from hydrogen. So when we break it down in its basic form, that's how you think. You have to unify. There must be a unification. So this is the grand unification theorem. This is the holy grail of physics, the holy grail of mathematics, the holy grail of music. This is the holy grail of all religion. This is the spirituality of chemistry. And once you understand, if you can think with mental chemistry, see, there is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Let me say that again. There is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. You need spiritual chemistry, which is what I call spiritual therapeutics, which is what I teach in my life management system, which again is extremely important. This doesn't tell you what to think. This tells you how to think. You must think the same way that the Creator thinks. So the Creator doesn't think in the form of chemistry. The Creator thinks in the form of spirituality. That's why if we can understand, when we talk about a mystery, we're talking about a myth story. We're talking about a story that is based upon the chemical that we call hydrogen, which takes me all the way back to number three with his etymology. So how do you think? Number one, you question the questions. You question the reality of any question that is asked. Number two, you maintain a standard that is omnibenevolent. Number three, you rudimentarily use etymology. If you do those things frequently, if you do those things intensely, and if you do those things systematically, thinking, that's how you think. So how to think your way to the top? Since very few people ask the question or question the nature of their reality, since very few people have a standard that is omnibenevolent, since very few people use etymology in everything that they do in life, very few people know how to think. Very few people know how to think. And I guarantee you, as God is my witness, you could get off this call and go ask somebody, how do you be you? Just ask them that question. Ask them, how do you come up with your conclusions that you come up with? How do you know that the earth is round or that the earth is flat? How? How do you know that you're on earth? How do you know that this world that we live in is the real world? That's why I like the movie, like the HBO miniseries Westworld, because Westworld talk about or ask a lot of those same questions. And those questions formulate around asking questions about the nature of your reality. The second thing is make sure that those questions are based upon something that is omnibenevolent. Now, when we talk about this ideal of omnibenevolence, what we are talking about is something that God has established as a standard. Now, that's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 19. Isaiah 59, 19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, when we talk about a standard, especially for the people that are non-biblical or the people that don't believe in the Bible, the word flood in that verse comes from the Greek word nahar, N-A-H-A-R, nahar. So nahar in Hebrew means great waters. It means great hydrogen. So the standard is now hydrogenes. Now, we broke down the word hydro versus hydrin or hydra, which means a multiple-headed snake. So we're not talking about the snake that has multiple heads. We're talking about the standard. Now, the reason why this is so important, because now this is how you should be thinking, because what happens is there is a rise in what is called your conscious awareness. And what this does is this opens your vision so that way you confront the social construct or the social conditioning and the social programming that is being shoved down your throat. Then you do not have less of a desire to fit in. All of a sudden, you develop this disposition that said it is okay for me to be okay, for me not to fit into the mold of the hive mind that is being promoted by the dominant culture. All of a sudden, you start to embrace your true self based upon truth, based upon knowledge, based upon unconditional love, which is a condition for a higher state of being or a higher state of consciousness, not merely emotional state, but you rise into a single standing column to a balanced state where you're not going extremely up or extremely down. You are maintaining your emotional equilibrium. That is the result, proper thinking. So if you ask the right questions that are based upon something that is omnibenevolent and you use etymology to understand the definitions of the words that you are using, because words have changed over time. I just gave you an example. The English word flood comes from the Hebrew word nahar, which comes from or means running waters or great waters that has to do with what we call hydrogen. Without understanding the etymology, we have no morality. Morality, again, is basically a standard. It's basically something that is set in place by which we can stand on. And so when we talk about whether we talk about, again, this has nothing to do with quote-unquote religion. This has to do with something that is universally accepted. This is a living doctrine that establishes the conduct and the practice identifying your reality. So when we talk about faith, these are all attributes of something that is what is called omnibenevolent. Now, this omnibenevolency that I'm talking about is something that is omnipresent. That means that is everywhere. Now, we call omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipowerful. These are all attributes and characteristics of what we call God. So whether you call it the standard, whether you call God, whether you call hydrogen, whatever you call it, it's still the standard. It's still based upon the concept of something that is omnibenevolent. Simply means that it is something that has a moral, something that has a perfect, something that has a good, if we want to use that word, base. Now, then that goes into the question of what is good. Well, the word good establishes what we call righteousness. And Psalms 145, verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works." So omnibenevolent means always in the right place, and it is always kind. And so there's a lot of things that are not in the right place, and there are a lot of things that are not kind, which lets me know that those things are the result of a repetition, which makes it a good reptilian, which makes it a good machine, which makes it a good mechanical device, which makes it a good behavioral addiction. So most of us, we have a habit and a routine. We are not omnibenevolent because we have not questioned the nature of our behavior. You can tell me what you are doing, but can you tell me why you do it? Can you tell me why you cook the way you cook? Why you wear makeup? Why you don't wear makeup? Why you comb your hair? Why you perm your hair? Or why you don't perm your hair? Why you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Who told you that you need 3 meals a day? Who told you that you don't need 3 meals a day? Have you questioned the nature of your reality? See, hydrogen, the word hydro means water. The word gen means genes. It is water that produces life-forming genes. All elements are the manipulation of one element on the periodic table called hydrogens. Everything is hydrogen. God's word is the standard of the vibration or the waveform that arranges water. Let me say that again. Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon, that's what you're made up of. God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, as the Bible says. Spirit, again, is made up of matter. Matter is made up of oxygen and hydrogen. Hydrogen is all throughout the Bible, everywhere. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 says, "The earth was formed out of the water and by the means of the water." The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters." Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Waters is mentioned all throughout the Bible. I can go on and on talking about the flood, which is representative. It has an esoteric meaning. So the standard, my brothers and sisters, is what we call, from a physics or chemical perspective, hydrogen. Now, the reason why this is so important, because, again, we have to have a standard. We got to have something to start with. We need a foundation. We need something to base, again, our logic on. It must be omnibenevolent. Now, the word omnibenevolent means, omni means all, benevolent means good. It means unlimited. It means always good. It means that the highest possible good. So when I am thinking, I am always thinking of the highest possible good. So I just don't want to be good. I want the highest possible good. So I just don't want to be wealthy. I want the highest possible wealth. I don't want to be healthy. I want the highest possible health. I don't want wisdom. I want the highest possible wisdom. I don't want just a relationship. I want the highest possible relationship. See, the difference between what I do and the people that I'm working with on this next level, I'm only working with people who want the highest possible good. See, before I was working with people who just wanted to be good. I was working with people who just wanted to be great. They didn't want to be greater. They didn't want to be the greatest. They just was happy eating crumbs off the table because I was happy eating crumbs. I was happy as a log. Man, y'all don't understand. I was happy when I made $20,000 doing this. Y'all don't even understand, man. I went through 58-something jobs, 58, 60 jobs. I forgot. I lost count. I worked so many jobs, and my average salary was between $20,000 and $25,000 a year. So when I started this, I just wanted to make what I was making at my little bootleg job when I started. Y'all don't understand. I was happy. But I wasn't my greatest. I wasn't fulfilling my potential. I just wanted to get my feet in the door. And no disrespect for nobody, because you got to start there. So I don't really teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. People ask me all the time, man, you never talk about the basics. And I tell people for the last 25 years I've been saying this. So let me say it again. I'm a Hebrews 6:1 Negro. Hebrews 6:1. It says, let us go on past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because the God I serve, He's omnibenevolent. Now, the entry-level God, yeah, another study for another time. But the big G, not the little G, the big G is the standard. We are supposed to live up to the big G standard. He's all good. He's all loving. He's all infinite. He's the supreme being. And that word is associated with God. But in the Latin, the word omni means all. Benevolent means charitable or good. So the big G, again, we can break this down biblically by looking at it in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, that breaks down the majestic nature of how you should think, how to think your way to being all good. It must be frequent, it must be intense, and it must be systematic. And most of the people I know, they just happy being happy. They're not happy being their happiest. Most people I know, they just want a couple of nickels. And that's okay. Let's not get it twisted. I started that too. I was happy making $20,000 a year doing what I love, man. My toes was curled. And then I came across the concept of omnibenevolence, which comes from two basic understandings, and that is God is perfect. The Bible says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. I don't know too many Reverend Dr. Bishops preaching that, because everybody I know says you can't be perfect. It didn't say nothing about being it. It just said that you should be willing to try to achieve it. Sign me up for that program. When I changed my thinking to think like God, my whole life changed. Now I can't think with people who are anti-gods. There are a lot of people who are anti-God in their thinking. They don't know it because they've never been exposed to how God thinks. God says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. So I read Philippians 2:5, and it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in a form, meaning he had the metamorpho, he thought like God. Sign me up for that program. So I started asking questions. I said, Father, how do I think like you? How do I think like Yahushua? He says, Yahushua said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. So I had to drop myself. I had to die to myself. I had to deny myself. I had to pick up my cross and I had to follow Him. This has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with universal spiritualism. This has to do with understanding, my brothers and sisters, that God is the standard, that God is perfect, and God is omnibenevolent. He's always good. So I don't follow no other deity that is not always good. There's a lot of other deities out there that are not always good, but the one that I follow, he's always good. Because that's his definition. Because the God must possess perfect goodness. Because that's what he is. He's perfectly good. Perfectly. Now, Psalms 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous, and he, in all his ways, is kind, and in all his works. James 1:17, James chapter 1, verse 17 says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow due to change. The big G, I mean, there's a lot of G's, but the big one, he don't change. He says there's no variation. That means he's not cyclical. That means he don't do the shizness that go on this earth. He's not seasonal. See, my God's not seasonal. He don't go up and down, according to James 1:17. He's the Father of lights. I'm a light being. I'm not a human. I'm a light being. I'm not a bent light being. I'm a light being, a straight light being. Now, that's a different study for another time, but you need to understand. Because this is extremely important, brothers and sisters, because there is a lot of stuff that is being taught. You have to question that stuff. Because the goal of the enemy is for you not to be always good. He needs you to be good on Monday, but if I meet you and see you on Thursday, that's the day that you got you pissed off and you have a mood on Thursday because, you know, your check is late, and so you're pissed off, and I'm supposed to accept that bush? No, I don't think so. So my goal, and hopefully your goal, is the same. Always good. No variation. So that means when you see me on Monday, Thursday, I'm the same way. If you catch me early in the morning or if you catch me late at night, my vibration is the same, always good. Frequent intense training about God's always goodness, that's how you think. How to think your way to the top. We must think the way God thinks, not the way the dominant culture tells us to think. God is omnibenevolent, the big one, the real one. You must awaken to the possibility that what the Bible says is true. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. There is a struggle within inside of each one of us. Because each one of us are struggling with the ideal of us. And it's very important because everything is teaching us this new watered-down version of the original. And we are accepting poverty as an option. We are accepting disease as an option. We are accepting ignorance as an option. We are accepting bad relationships as an option. I don't want no bad relationship. I want to be happy every day, all day, 24/7, 365. That is the goal. That is the goal based upon the biblical standard. I don't want to know chemically induced feel-good experiences. I don't want no municipal plants or no psychedelic DMT, magical, mystical, this, that, or the other to make me feel. I want my feelings to be based upon my thoughts. There is nothing wrong with taking any type of a drug to assist you with your feelings. But there should be a goal, maybe not today, but one day, for you to have a thought that produces a feeling that maintains your behavior. And that thought should be always good. Your feelings should be always good. Your behavior should be always good. Because always good is always God. Good is God. If it's good, you just drop one of those O's out of that word, homie. And if you got G-O-O-D, you got G-O-D. Frequently intense thinking about what? Good. Always. 24/7. 365. Nonstop every day. It should be always God. Because God is good. How to think your way to the top? You must think like God. And the way God thinks, God is omnibenevolent. He is always good. And he's always God. There is no shifting. There is no variance. There is no change. He's always good. The change in the value is through Lucifer. Lucifer means interceptor of the light. It doesn't mean bringer. It doesn't mean manufacturer. It means skion and skios in the original text. Skion in the original text means interceptor of the light. It means interrupter of the light. The fool can't create it, but he can manipulate it. And so there is no such thing as a pothole. A pothole is the absence of dirt. By definition, a pothole is not a thing. A pothole is the absence of a thing. By definition, Lucifer is not a thing. Lucifer is the absence of a thing. Evil is not a thing. Evil is the absence of a thing. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of a thing. Without overstanding, my brothers, we creating our own imaginary demons. Well, let me rephrase that. That's what I did. In order for you to vibrate on this level and higher levels, I'm just scratching the surface. But in order to vibrate on the level where you're always wealthy, where you're always healthy, where you're always wise, and you're always in a toe-curling relationship, something bad, but it's like, okay, that's okay, honey. Honey, omnibenevolent. It's always good. That's okay. We're going to take what the devil meant for evil, and we're going to turn around and we're going to use it for our good. All things work together. When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, see, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. Always good. Something bad happens in your life. Hey, good. It's always good. When I lose, I win. When I win, I win. You see, brothers and sisters, the universe responds to your feelings. Feelings is the language of God. God is a always good. He didn't say that bad things doesn't happen. Now, people tell me all the time, there's a scripture in, I can't remember it. I think it's Isaiah 48, somewhere in there. What is it, Father? Yep, it's Isaiah 48. Or is it 48, 45? 45, yep, Isaiah 45. I form light. I create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And I remember the first time I read that, I was like, man, that's crazy. It says that I form light and create darkness until I look at the definition of the word form and the definition of the word create. Because, again, remember, the three things you must have in order to think. Number one, you got the question. I ask the question, what does that mean? I form light, I create darkness, I make good, and I create evil. So God is doing all this stuff. I am the Lord who does all these things. So like, well, God is making bad stuff. Number one, I questioned. Then I did number two. The standard is always good. The standard is omnibenevolent. So that led me to number three. If you do this, there is no question on earth you cannot answer. But you must do this. You must, number one, read something. I form light and create darkness. I make good and create evil. I am the Lord who does all these things. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. So I'm asking a question. Notice I don't ask the man a question. I ask God. So God, in James, it says that you're father of light, you do good shizness. Then I read over here, Old Testament, Isaiah 45:7, it says that you create bad shizness. Which one? I need you to make up your mind, dude. Are you good or bad? Then I read, the standard says he's omnibenevolent. So the number three things I do is etymology. So I got to look it up. So that's what I did. So when I go into the text and I look it up, it says that, he said that he formed. Now, remember, this is extremely important because each one of these words breaks something down for us. The first word is yatsar, Y-A-T-S-A-R, Strong Concordance number H-335, form. That word means original creation concept. It means to fashion or means to frame. So the first word is Yashar, Y-A-T-H-A-R. Again, Strong Concordance, H. I'm sorry, I did say Hebrew word. And then it says light. So he forms the light. Now the word light is the word O-W-R in Hebrew. O-W-R in Hebrew means clear. It doesn't necessarily mean light or luminary the way that we mean. It has to do with making something visible. It means like something got mud on it, and I removed the mud off of it. So it means to make something visible doesn't necessarily mean light as in the way that we think about it. Then it says create. So I form light and create. Now, the word create is a real word. It comes from the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A. Now, remember, if you do these three things, this is how, not what. How do you think? You ask questions. You make sure that the question comes out good. If you ask a question and it produces evil, that means you got to research the etymology. That means somebody is taking out jots and tittles. So the word bara, it means to create. It means to shape. This has to do with creating. It says always with God as the subject, meaning when you're creating a new condition, when you're creating something like from birth, when you're creating something new. So the word create and the word form are totally different things. Create when you make it. Form means that something is interfering with it. You can't see it, so you got to remove it. Form has to do with something that is already there. Create has to do with something that is not there. So form means that the light is being manipulated, so he removes the light so you can see clearly. Create has to do with making something totally that doesn't exist. So God said that I create, and then darkness. The word darkness doesn't mean evil. The word darkness means a secret place. So it has to do with understanding the word darkness has to do with understanding a dark or hidden place. Now, could it mean something that we would call evil? Do you call being obscure evil? The word darkness, again, has to do with something that has been darkened or hidden. It means to hide or to conceal. So if you think that something that is hidden or concealed that is not visible to you is evil, okay. So God has said that, hey, I hide things, or I may not totally reveal certain things to everybody. Certain things I share, certain things I form, that means I make it clear. Some things I don't make clear. I do all these things. Oh, okay. That's benevolent. We're good. But if I don't research the definitions of the words I use and I see the English word evil, I'm thinking, okay, as I thought for years, that God creates bad things. That goes the opposite against omnibenevolent, which is always good. If you do not research the definitions of the words you use back to their original text, because the words in English may not mean what they originally was written in when they was written in Aramaic or in Greek or in Hebrew or in Latin. That's why I'm an etymologist. You must, number one, if you read Isaiah 45, verse 7, and if you don't ask the question, number one, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So if you do not understand the etymology of those words, the word Ra is the word evil, R-A, like the Egyptian god Ra. That means disagreeable. It means unpleasant. It means displeasing. Doesn't necessarily mean a bad devil. Now, if something is sad, something that is displeasing, could that be construed as bad or evil? Sure. It could be taken that way, but the way that it is promoted or presented by most people, myself included, for years when I read that scripture, is that God creates No, the something intercepts something that is hidden. Then we perceive it as being evil. Didn't necessarily say that it was evil. It was concealed by the definition of the terms that is being used. So, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, it is extremely important that you understand these three things when it comes to how to think your way to the top. If you think like this, if you set your mind, your intention every morning to be omnibenevolent, you don't have to know how to be omnibenevolent. All you got to have that is your intention. That's what Jesus did. Jesus says that, you know what, I want to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? That none should perish. The Father's will, he's omnibenevolent. Will some perish? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. All I know is that's not his will. His will is that none should perish. So that's my will. So every day I wake up, that's my will. My intention is, everybody going to enroll in the life management system? No. But my intention is that everybody enrolls in the $20,000 level life management system. Why? Everybody on that level, if you need to talk to me every day, I'm going to talk to you every day. If I got to fly to your house and hold your hand, I'm going to fly to your house and hold your hand. My goal is just to work with a few people who are very, very, very intense, who sold out. They're like me. They say death or destiny. And they're willing to do what the scripture, the universal law, the big G says, and that is to be their highest good. That's it. I just want to work with those people. Now, yesterday, I worked with everybody. Today, moving forward, I'm totally changing my system because I'm on that level now. But I had to start somewhere. Now, there's other people who can work with people that, you know, the demographics that I used to work with. Now, remember when I started off doing health and fitness for primarily African Americans. And then I grew to another level. So my purpose is evolving as my understanding is evolving. Yours will too. You got to start somewhere, but you want to perfect your and master your space. As you grow in God, your purpose grows. Because you narrow your focus to your specific niche, and you only focus on your highest good. That's God. God is omni, all, benevolent, good, always being your goodest. That's God. That's how to think. You should think your way to the top. To get to the top, you got to think like God. God is always thinking about the best for you. He ain't never thinking about the worst for you. He's always thinking. The Bible says that God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. Now, if that ain't good, I don't know what else is. God says he wishes that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John 1, 2. Now, I don't see nothing evil in that. He said, I wish, you know, that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I can't find darkness and evils and devils and demons and ghosts and goblins. I can't find that in there. God is omni-good. So do those things exist? I don't know, but how do they exist? Those are the opposite. Those are the things that do not want to operate according to their highest good. Everything that is evil that exists used to be good. It's fallen. It's bent. That's how you got here. You are a human. You are a bit man. You are a fallen man. You are a fallen light being. You are a fallen angel. An angel is an angel. What happens if you rise back? What if you vibrate higher? What if you vibrate according to your highest good instead of vibrating according to your lowest lust? What if you vibrate according to your highest good instead of vibrating according to your lowest lust? My brothers and my sisters, let me make sure you understand. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have to be in it to win it. It is extremely important because you are in a vibrational war right now And the enemy does not want you to oscillate or vibrate according to your highest good. He knows that if you do that, you are on the same frequency as God. You will be indistinguishable between God, meaning vibrationally, when the enemy looks at you, he's looking at God because you and God are one. There is no vibrational difference. Win the crowd, win your freedom. Win the crowd, and you will win your freedom. The crowd is all of them neurons that's in your brain, which we'll be talking about here in about 30 minutes as we break down part two of your neuropeptides versus the technopeptides. How to align every neuron in your brain and in your body to something that is always good. How to feel good in the midst of doing or being bad. How do you always feel good? How do you always feel God? Win the crowd, you win the people. Superior knowledge, superior understanding, superior skills, superior talent, superior purpose, superior weapons. That comes from your skill set. Your skill set is the attributes and characteristics that was given to you by the big G that establish you with infinite wisdom for infinite worlds. That is your highest possible good. So, brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Again, for more information on my products and service, email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Anchor with the
pain. Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others, cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne.
Listen.
Don't let them entities take up your home.
Trippin'.
Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow.
Yeah.
I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth, this weeping under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours, it's yours. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours, it's yours. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzy, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.